Today on Real Life Radio.
Turn off so much of what's on media, be it radio or TV or internet. Turn it off. It will rob you of faith in God. And it will overwhelm you and doubt will creep in. I beg of you, you're almost to the finish line. Don't lose faith. Keep it alive.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. In these final verses, Peter is filled with emotion. His parting words are spoken without compromise, and yet they come from the heart of a shepherd. Peter's unwavering love for the church is an expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. So sharing what lies ahead for the world and what's in store for the true believer in Jesus Christ, it really has become his passion and his focus. Now, Peter's last words before he himself is crucified are written for our benefit, that as followers of Christ, we're to keep our faith alive and our head in the game, really. To live out our own days with an intensity, with a purpose, and to keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Life here on earth, really, it's not all there is. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there is nothing more serious than choosing where we will spend eternity. Our eternal destiny is a matter of life in heaven or a life spent in darkness and despair without salvation and without hope. The Lord is waiting. You've got to know His love for you and how much He wants to save you. And now in his message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So today we are looking at Part 2 of a closing argument given to us by Peter. And we are in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 18 as we end it. Listen to his answer now. This is his last words. Before he dies, verse 18 are his last words. Before Peter goes into heaven, being a martyr, dying in Rome, crucified. This is what he says. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. And he says, amen. 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 Father, we pray that you'd move in our midst. We thank you, Lord God, our Bibles are open. And so because they are open, because we seek to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, because all of us in this room and perhaps viewing right now desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we expect you to do an amazing thing in our lives today. We've come here expectant. We're excited. And Lord, thank you that you're on your throne in heaven. Nothing has rocked your world. In fact, thank you, God. You're rocking our world. So Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. In Jesus' name, and again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. The message entitled, as you may remember from last time, is Before I Let You Go. Hey, you know, before I let you go, we often say on the phone, or it's the last final thing to say, before I let you go. We all have experienced, and I'm sure shall experience, the remembering of the last words that someone spoke to us, or we spoke to someone, when we then found out later that we'd not see them again in this world. Maybe some people, we don't know, but forever. But we think about those last words right before they drove away. Are those last words just before they moved away, you know? Or it could be those last words that people say right before they pass away. On both sides, by the way. Those passing and those remaining. But there's going to come a day in all of our lives that every single one of us will say something to someone or have someone say something to us, and it will be their last words. It will be your last words. I hear it at funerals all the time. It's part of the unwritten protocol of a funeral. People will say things like this. You know, the last time I spoke with Mike, or the last time I spoke, or the last time Susie spoke to me. And they remember. Last words are important. It's not that 1 and 2 Peter in its entirety is not important. Of course it's important. It's the Word of God. But it's the closing arguments that make things even more intense. In a way, Lisa will tell you, by the way, you have the freedom to ask my wife anything, anytime. We've never been sheltered. Our life is not hidden. Most of you know where I live. And if you don't, then maybe that's good for me. But our lives are wide open. And if you know me, there's a sense of me that's a little, I guess you would say, fatalistic. I like to look at it as realistic. But it's true. I lean towards pessimism. I want to know, I've told you before, I want to know bad news first. I think that's smart. It's horrible to hear the good news and, wow, and you're all happy. Yeah, oh, that's so good. And then they say, well, there's one more thing. And you just go, right? No. Hit me in the face first, and then I know what to do. And I actually live my life like that. I can survive good news. It's the tough news. But I think it works in this thing called mission life that you and I live in. But Peter is communicating to us, you need to get your head in the game and you need to wake up and you need to be spiritually minded about the things of this life and what's going on in your world. And we see around the world right now, are you aware of this around the world? Rapid, radical spike in suicide. Radical. Why? Something's up. People are losing hope. People are giving up. Christian, you cannot do that. You don't have the authority to take your own life. God's in control. But we need to be prepared. And Peter's preparing his passionate, beautiful words to the church in departing. Is I just want to let you know this before I let you go. I want to have you in a moment, put your eyes to the screen. I was inspired by this program last Sunday after services. Soon as third service was over, I drove immediately to Loma Linda University Medical Center, ICU, where a young man in this church, I was told, was not doing well, was expected to die. 23 years old, accepted the Lord here during COVID, by the way. He didn't have COVID. During the COVID shutdown, he accepted the Lord here. Thank God we were open. Hello. Gave his heart to Christ, very excited about Jesus. Got a rash on his back. That rash turned into something of more concern, was chronically tired. Wound up having cancer of the blood. And so the family wanted me to go there. And so I drove right after third service, straight out to Loma Linda. And that's a great hospital, by the way. You know, you walk up and, sorry, sir, the COVID situation, you can't see anybody. And I said, I'm Pastor Jack, and I'm here to see, come here, come with us. Come on. And they took care of me, took me right in there. The nurses were amazing. As soon as you walk in the room, because you do this enough, as soon as you walk into the room, enough times you see, he's not here. He's gone. You can tell. Doctors know this, nurses know this, pastors know this. But somebody's got to tell the family. And let me tell you something right now. When there's a body of believers, it's an amazing moment. And that was an amazing moment. But not all in the room were believers. And the grip on their face was hopelessness. And in the same room, the mother is rejoicing in Christ. How does that happen? Because they were prepared. And they listened to the words that Peter had to say. Before you let someone go, what are you going to tell them? Those are Peter's words to us. I'm going to ask you to turn your eyes to the screen and listen carefully.
Today, more Americans die in hospitals than anywhere else, often after prolonged illness and many medical interventions.
What modern medicine is capable of doing is almost what 20 years ago was considered science fiction. Essentially, you can support pretty much every body system.
Listen.
For years, because you can keep their lungs breathing and keep their heart beating, keep their blood pressure up and keep their blood flowing. That suspended animation state goes on forever. And so the decisions at the end of life have become much more complicated for everyone involved.
Did you hear what he said? Yes. None of us want to see. This is a reality. Eventually it will be seen and witnessed in our lives. This is a wake-up call this morning. Think about this. The fact of the matter of what that man said is, scientifically, we can keep a body going indefinitely forever. Did you know that? Yes. When you walk into a room and someone is critically, critically ill, and you look at the computers around them and the devices, and everything's perfect. Heart rate's perfect. Oxygenation, perfect. Lung tidal volume, perfect. Everything's perfect. Temperature's perfect. Respiration rate, perfect. If they're so perfect, why don't they get up and leave? Because man's desire to stay alive, even to the point where we have entered the realm where science has given us the technology to do things that we think are wonderful, but in reality, there is something that they cannot do. And that is, they cannot minister to the soul and to the spirit of who that individual is. We can keep the blood flowing because we've got an electrical outlet keeping the pump moving the blood. But the soul is not there. The spirit's gone. And before I let you go, Peter would say, is where are you going to go when you die? You will not be in some suspended state of animation. And a close observation of this is very, very clear. In your own life, where will you be going when you let go? The next clip I want you to see, same program. I want you to be listening for words that should cause all of us alarm. And you're not going to like this, but please, you need to be strong and apply this to not only your own physical life, but your spiritual life. Because Jesus said and warned us that this life is not all that there is, that you can have this life and die here, and without Christ, you can also die a second time in the spirit world, and that's called hell. And Jesus said, I have come to give you life so that you might escape that. Listen carefully about being prepared.
Nearly 95% of our patients cannot communicate because of either their underlying illness or because of the heavy sedation we're providing. So what happens is that most of the care and interventions are discussed with the healthcare decision maker, who may be a family member or a healthcare proxy. In a perfect world, the patient designates a healthcare proxy and has a discussion about what their preferences would be at the end of life. But many of the patients who end up in the intensive care unit, those discussions have never happened. And this causes a tremendous amount of burden for everybody because they now have to make life or death decisions for somebody else.
For most people, the discussion never happened. The conversation never happened. No one sat down and said, listen, we need to make plans because someday, what if? But isn't that true about the gospel? If we can sit down and if we can write on a napkin our wishes or have somebody be a witness of our desires that we can speak before we cannot speak in the physical realm, what about telling someone about the truths of eternal life and spiritual matters before that time comes? We need to get to the heart of the matter. And I thank God for this difficult time that America is going through because it's forcing people to sit up and take notice. It's not pleasant, but it's good if we deal with it rightly. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Some of you need to hear that today. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go now to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. I don't know if you believe this or not, but I do. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? I'm so glad Thomas asked that question. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's how you get to heaven. Before I let you go, I want to tell you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus was talking about that, he was actually, as God incarnate, literally speaking forth what had been an Old Testament practice. Jesus gave it all meaning. Paul talks about it in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. Listen, take notes, please. This is important. For I am already being poured out. The word in Greek is libation. Poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure, his death, is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul is saying, I now am understanding my life is about to be poured out. It's in the process of being poured out. It's the drink offering in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus was speaking about. Different verbiage, same thing though. And Paul's saying, I'm going to be poured out. By the way, everyone will be poured out eventually. But that announcement is my life as a Christian. I have lived my life to the point where now, Paul's case, I've been allowed to serve Christ all these years. I'm old. I'm going to be dying as an old man. I'll lose my head in Rome. He's going to be beheaded. Peter was crucified. Paul was beheaded. And Paul is saying, okay, just about done. My whole life as a Christian has been pouring out as a drink offering, but the big moment has come for that vial or that container to be emptied out. The moment of my departure is at hand. This is the heritage of the Christian in the 21st century. Every single one of us will come to that moment where someone's going to have to decide or read the document and say, there's no instructions here, or he gave instructions to do not resuscitate, or whatever the case may be. Every single one of us. But in that moment when death happens, where will you go? Paul was saying, yeah, the time of my departure is at hand. I get excited about departures if I'm going to a good place. Okay? This week I have to be in Dallas, going to be speaking to a bunch of Texas legislators, asked to speak to them. And that's the mission is awesome. I'm sorry, but I'm not big on going to Dallas. It's just tough. It's tough in the airport. It's tough. The city's too big. It's just crazy. I don't like it. I just lost all of our Dallas viewers right now. Before I let you go, your city's too big. No, I'm kidding. The mission is amazing, but listen, there's places where, okay, I'm going. I don't want to go, but I'm going. And then there's places like Kauai or Maui or Bora Bora. And it's like, let's go. That's the way the believer is supposed to be understanding where we're going. It's not, listen, when we die, we're not going to go to Dallas or Detroit. When we die, we're going to go into the presence of God, into heaven. And it's a glorious truth. And so when Peter was saying, before I let you go, this is what we saw last time, and then we'll go across the finish line. Look at this, verses 14 to 15, that we're to keep the faith. Keep your faith alive, Christian. Can you hear me? Raise your hand if you can hear me. I exhort you, do everything to keep your faith alive. And I'm not being funny when I tell you this. Turn off so much of what's on media, be it radio or TV or internet, turn it off. It will rob you of faith in God. And it will overwhelm you, and doubt will creep in. I beg of you, you're almost to the finish line. Don't lose faith. Keep it alive. How do we do that? We learned in verses 14 to 15 that it's by anticipation. It's with anticipation. He says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. That is vital if we're going to make it. The second thing is in verse 14, devotion. We talked about that. If I'm going to keep my faith alive, I'm to be wrapped with anticipation. That's why Bible prophecy changes people's lives. I want you to know that right now. There's a reason why 27 to 31% of the Bible is prophetic about prophecy. You want to know why? Over a quarter of the Bible is written in that doctrine, eschatological speaking is the word. It's because it builds anticipation in the life of the believer. Listen, if government is your hope, then you're not going to be a very happy person. Think about it. If money's your hope, you're not going to be a very happy person. But if God is your hope, you can be a political victim in a prison and have no money and have absolute hope. You could be in exile and have total hope. Thank God for that. Why? Because we have this anticipation in Him. He could come at any time, and He wants to do amazing things in our lives, even mature Christ in us. That brings us to the place of natural, supernatural devotion. We read there where He says, be diligent to be found by Him in peace. This is the work of God, without spot or blameless. You can do everything you want, my friend. You will never be without spot or blameless. You understand that? He does that to every child of His that comes to Him. God does that work in you. And then thirdly, we saw last time that before I let you go, Peter is saying, keep your faith alive with endurance. Hang in there, don't give up. You can't give up. I appreciate all of you. The news was breaking this week and you were texting me and sending me notes. How you doing? How you doing? Awesome. Awesome. This is an amazing time because there's lying, cheating, and stealing. It's being documented and you're going to see it and it's amazing. And then there's people on their face praying on the other side and fasting. What's up? I don't know, but God's on His throne. Something's going to break. And whatever it does, God's on His throne. Amen. Remarkable. Endurance. Waiting. It says, consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. What a tremendous statement. You know why Jesus Christ hasn't come back yet? For this verse right here. His patience, Him waiting, is for salvation of others. Now, I wish you would just get saved so we could get out of here and stop goofing around. Come on, you're pulling us down. Make a decision for Christ and let's go. And I mean that. That's salvation. Now, let's be honest. Read the fine print. God will wait only so long. Then time's up.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Before I Let You Go, Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hasn't it really been an incredible journey through 2 Peter to experience his life from that wild and rebellious fisherman that we knew way back when to become this humble yet passionate man of God? We can really take his teachings and apply them to our own lives. Peter gave us a wealth of information on how to live and walk in faith, but the most important takeaway is to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. But if you're not sure what that looks like in your own life, we'd like to help. Simply connect with us at our website, jackhibbs.com. Click on that tab labeled Know God. Let me spell that for you. K-N-O-W. Know God. Now, once you're there, you'll discover what it truly means to be saved. So get closer to God and see what happens. Go to that tab labeled Know God at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or you could download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go instruction and inspiration. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.